saving money on everything for your next project. Now at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes. Whether you're pouring a walkway, concrete slab, or setting a post, we have the right product at the best price to complete your project. Shop our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Nick Frazier here with you on Wednesday, and now joined by our good friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, We've been talking about the trade the Titans made yesterday with the Los Angeles Rams, acquiring linebacker Ernest Jones. And I heard Jared talking about this yesterday. We've talked about it a little bit. This is a really good player based on what we've read. So we're all a bit skeptical. Like, why was this player available? He's pretty good.
Right.
So yeah. Based on what you know about Ernest Jones and his situation in Los Angeles, what do you make of this trade? And should we be skeptical that the Titans were able to get a productive player for a low cost?
Well, I mean, I think considering where they were with their depth overall, if he turns out to be healthy and it's all good and well there, and it's a player that they want to extend, clearly. Otherwise, the trade itself is 2026. It's worth bringing him in. It's intriguing. I'm with you. Why is a player like this available? They're not going to re-sign him, clearly, but he's voted team captain. That's you don't see that often. I know PK said this morning, I believe on Robbie and Rexrove, that maybe he comes in a little bit overweight. Again, don't know. I don't trust Paul on that one, what he's hearing from out west. But all that to be said, it's a player that was well respected early in his career, what, 24 years old now, final year of his rookie contract. Absolutely, you take this option and the chance here to bring in a player that can potentially be more long-term than some of the options that they have. Look, does he come in and start immediately? I don't know about that because of what Paul said this morning. But optimistic, sure, but add him to a list of players who come in with either injury concerns right now or they're on some type of calendar or have been in order to make sure and identify that they're just getting to the regular season healthy based on whatever injuries they're coming off of in the offseason / last season.
When you look at the Titans 53-man roster as it was released yesterday, I think the thing that stuck out to everybody the fact that they kept five tight ends. Now, that is subject to change and could change very soon, but what do you make of the Titans' decision, at least initially, to have five tight ends on their roster?
I didn't predict five. I think in my roster I had four. But I looked at it from this perspective. Yeah, most you're going to have guys that are inactive, yes. But beyond that, the depth on the offensive line is not great. And I think this is going to be a team that runs the football a bit more than maybe the hype has been through the passing game early in the season. And if you're going to load up and do that, you're going to come out with more of a heavy set in certain situations. You're loading up your roster to do this and form the roster this way. But again, Adam, you're right to mention – the 53 that we saw yesterday is not going to be the 53 that we see on week one. And that comes through roster acquisition, through trade, or through waiver claims. And we'll see who they choose to let go. It's the real surprise from my vantage point here would be Odikoya, who has the roster exemption for the extra man on the practice squad because he's the international player. They can have 17 players on their practice squad if they wanted to have him there. And instead of doing that, he's going to be on the active roster, at least as of right now, I believe. So again, that was interesting. He had the hustle play, and I'm glad to see that effort rewarded, because if not, for that is the example of what you want to see in the preseason. But again, this time of year, yesterday and today, there's a lot of time spent on guys who aren't really going to be even maybe active on game day right now.
Well, let's bring up
as healthy as they're going to be.
Hutt, let's bring up everybody up to speed real quick, and you correct me if I'm wrong on this, because we're all curious. The Ernest Jones trade has not become official, so he's not taking up a roster
He's got to pass a physical.
Okay.
Really.
So right now, the 53, we know he's going to take up somebody's spot on the 53, and they've also made two waiver claims in the last 10 or 15 minutes that have come public. Ali Gay, or an edge rusher out of LSU, who was on the practice squad last year for the Texans, and Julius Wood, who is a safety, undrafted free agent, who was cut by the Cowboys. So there's three guys that are on the 53, correct me if I'm wrong, that will not be there as of whenever these things are official.
Yep, and let's also mention the practice squad is going to include Gabe Giulalli. That's been reported that he's going to sign if he cleared waivers. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think he was a waiver claim.
He was not claimed.
Okay, so you've got him. I'll point out the waiver claims. There were 25-ish claims, and the overall number it's around there. I say the top number because 8 of the claims were defensive backs. The league was looking for added depth in the defensive backfield, so the Titans end up with more of a safety, I believe, than corner. But right now, I think this is a sign that they clearly believe that everything's good to go on the outside with Legarius Sneed and Awuzie, based on the lack of visual optimism that I have, because we haven't seen them on the practice field.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton Withrow. Check him out. Now, you mentioned the depth of the offensive line, and clearly is not there. And I think that that's going to have to be upgraded, because I don't think the right side had any competition. And when you don't have competition, I don't think you play at your maximum potential. But that's neither here nor there. The cornerback position, I am sort of concerned about. Not sort of, I am concerned about it, because as much as I like Brownlee Jr., I don't think he's ready yet. If you had to insert him into the offense, into the defense, if Cheeto can't play the first game of the season, or Sneed second game or third game of the season, Sneed may go down for a few plays or whatnot. Yes, McQuarrie is there, but you need somebody else beside Brownlee Jr., because this was a sore spot for them last year. Yes, they did upgrade the two starters, and they had to upgrade already with McQuarrie, but you did nothing beyond that to make sure you don't run into the same problem you ran into last year.
Yeah, I mean, Mace, let's be honest here, and I hope you're doing well, brother.
Oh, I am.
Good.
He's a doctor now. Didn't you know that?
Dr. Mason.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
We'll talk about that later.
This is a funny story.
Yeah, it's a funny story, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Let's be honest here. If they lose their top two corners, they're screwed no matter who they bring in right now.
Yeah.
They're back to what they were last year. This is not NFL quality depth across this roster. I believe, if my numbers are correct, they're going to start 15 or 16 different players than from the starting roster of week one in New Orleans a year ago.
Right. It depends on who you count as a starter, but I saw some of the tweets going through this. Like Arden Key, he's one you could debate didn't start week one last year.
Chigakonko.
Right, Chigakonko is the other, but you get the point, right? There is a huge amount of new blood.
That's jarring when you see it. 75-ish% of the roster has had turnover, is no longer is new players over the last 2 years. This is a massive overhaul. So we knew this was going to take time. Rand Carthon is in the offseason talking about the plan, and it's not just one offseason. Clearly, they need another offseason to build what we're seeing. All that being said, though, Mace, there's no way that they just stick with four corners.
No way.
they've got to make. And keep in mind, their practice squad, they can call up two players from the practice squad at least three times, I believe, mm-hmm. Individually. And then you have to sign them to the active roster. So they can do that on game day, and it's with some guys who have been here through the preseason that I at least thought may make the roster. Not Trey Avery, but Gabe Giudicelli. Again, you don't want to see them on the outside, but depth-wise, the option was Trey Avery, and we've seen what happens there if he had to start.
Now, were you surprised, because we hadn't talked to you since the trade went down with Malik Willis, are you surprised that a team was willing to give up any type of picks? Because that would have been, to me, a situation with the Titans whether they were discussing whether to keep him as the third quarterback or release him. I'm not sure why, Green Bay just didn't wait for the release. But then again, they could be at the bottom of the pecking order when it comes to free agents, guys that have been cut. So maybe that's why they jumped on it. And they like what they saw as far as the preseason work with Malik Willis. He did improve as a quarterback. He was,
no doubt,
immersed himself into the offense. And you saw a different quarterback than what we had seen in previous years.
So – I'm raising my hand here for those listening and not watching us here on the stream. I was wrong in this assessment. I didn't think anyone was going to claim Malik Willis if they let him go, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Green Bay just told us they felt like another team would by trading for him and guaranteeing that they have him on the roster. And so all the fear of potentially losing him, the Titans were going to cut him and they get something in return. Great. But the thought on trading him, that's what they should have done if they had the opportunity, which came up. Mm-hmm. When you consider that there wasn't an available roster spot to keep three quarterbacks. And if you look at the numbers, and especially week one going into everything, if you look at it from that perspective, then what do you do with Malik Willis if you keep him as the third? You're telling us as the media, the fan base, everyone, that you think Malik Willis is the backup quarterback next year. Otherwise, why would you keep him? To develop him another year and then do what with it? Have him a third string again? Again, they did him right, and they made the right call because he was clearly the third string quarterback. And they signed Mason Rudolph for a reason. Mason Rudolph is a quarterback that has been in playoff caliber type games and won them in the regular season to get Pittsburgh in playoff contention or to continue that record that they've had for 17 straight seasons or something of a winning record. All that being said, goodbye Malik Willis. Is he starting caliber? No. Can he be a backup quarterback? Yes. And those dudes can make a lot of money, ask Chase Daniel. So I say this, hey, he's improved. He played the touchdown, the second touchdown throw where he stepped up and made a great pass across the middle, a bullet, and set his feet. That is vastly different than the QB I saw 2 years ago. I credit him. And I also credit the coaching staff. This coaching staff made him look better.
And they got a seventh rounder out of it. And Hutton, to further your point, this is what's interesting. Since that trade transpired, you're right, you have to have some sort of crystal ball, but we know you don't actually have one, but you're trying to predict. There were no quarterbacks to this point, and we're scouring the list. There's a lot of waiver moves, but no quarterback got picked up by a team to put them on their 53. So in retrospect, the Packers could have let Malik Willis got cut and not given up the seventh rounder. So the Titans are the only team in the league that got a draft pick for their third string quarterback, right?
They could have had Desmond Ridder for free if they wanted
to. Or any number of other guys, Bailey Zappi and all those guys.
Mike White, there were guys out there who you might put ahead of Malik Willis.
It shows you what the Packers thought of Willis.
And Green Bay could have potentially been the team to claim it.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So don't you think it's interesting? Like, everybody's now wondering, what's the next move for the Titans? Surely they're going to try to sign an extra quarterback for the practice squad.
So Bailey Zappe and Mike White, that's a good comparison. If you want to claim a roster position and put them on your active roster, fine.
But nobody's doing that. Obviously, that's coming and gone, right?
Zappe, by the way,
has been
reported.
Another version of Bailey Zappe that can be on your practice squad if you need a third quarterback.
Zappe, it has been reported, has joined the Chiefs practice squad. I just saw that.
Okay.
So
to cross them off the list, like, but there's a ton of guys like that.
There's a bunch of just guys, right? And I view it, you can have a quarterback fit your system, but I don't see much difference in the level and the caliber of quarterback that is available right now. If you really need a quarterback, go sign Ryan Tannehill.
Well, he's waiting for the big one,
no doubt.
Somebody that gets desperate and needs it. I'm not saying here, I'm just saying across the league.
If you're dire, don't claim a quarterback, not from this group. Go sign Ryan Tannehill and give him some cash.
He's in that slot. Kevin Lankinen is in that slot, I think, for goalies. Emergency, a guy that's unsigned that could help
you. He's playing the Joe Flacco role.
Wait and see what unfolds.
He made $40 million last year. I don't blame him.
Dude made
$40 million. Why would you sign now for $5 million?
All right, so, Hutt, here is a big picture question here that we're going to try to tackle. And see what the listeners think. But each of these moves that they have made, and I think the optimism that you see when you watch them, whether it's fool's gold or not, right? They have a good feeling right now about themselves. You see Sweat coming around. They've got Harrell, who's a seventh-round pick that looks good. They like what Levis is doing, the new guys. They haven't been decimated with, you know, catastrophic injuries, knock on wood. They make this move for Ernest Jones. They look like a team that's trying to be sneaky good and not a team that's in a rebuild. So what are your thoughts when you hear that? It reminds Adam and I, and I'm sure D-Mace as well, I haven't asked him about it, but a little bit like a page out of the Predators book last year where everybody was kind of saying, well, the Predators are going to be bad. They're in a new era. What are they? I don't know. And Barry Trotz is like, hey, we're doing that. Be patient. We're building something big for the future. But in the meantime, I don't want to lose. I see the Titans kind of taking a page out of that book.
Well, I would say instead of being the sneaky good team, I think they just see an opportunity to be competitive. And here's the other thing, Willie. They've done everything this offseason with Will Levis in mind. That I think if you look at the offense, it's clear that it was intentional what they've done, not just with the coaching staff and the huge change in philosophy, but Levis now, he had good preseason. Cool. He's got it in front of him now to have the opportunity to be, is he that guy? Can he be the guy here? Not just the leader of the offense, but the leader of the locker room, the guy. He's got it in front of him. But I think a lot of the optimism is way too high. I'm seeing like 9-10 win predictions all of a sudden now. This is a team, again, that if you consider what we've seen on the injury list the last 2 years combined, and then you look at their depth right now, if I name off one corner and say they're done, they're going to be on IR for several weeks, or Tavondre Sweat or Simmons goes down, and then one of the tackles goes down, again, there are several positions where if one guy goes down, musical chairs happens. And then you've got young players that is the reason for optimism because they're not bringing back the same guys when fans know what they saw from those players. Now it's new and it's fresh and it's guys who produced in the preseason. I'm not trying to rain on the parade always, but I am remembering what I saw from this roster and how many new players are in and how many players we just have not seen yet. What, five of the newcomers on defense are either injury rehab or they're on a schedule because they're making sure that the injury rehab goes as well as it possibly can for week one. There's a lot of unknown here. But I will say, I think the optimism in the building that you mentioned, Willie, is optimism in the staff. There have been, across the league, a lot of failures for first-time head coaches. And I don't get the sense at all that Brian Callahan is in over his head. I think he's been intentional with his plan. He's been honest with the media, which tells me he's confident in that plan. He knows he's ready for the opportunity, I guess is what I'm saying. He's got a chance to prove. Denard Wilson, love his approach on the practice field and how he coaches. There's the youth movement with the staff too. And I think the veteran coaches around both young play callers here give me I'm more optimistic that they're not in over their head more so than I am. This is a team that's sneaky good. Even if they get off to a fast start, which they could do, the depth isn't there to sustain them throughout the regular season. I don't buy it yet.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan, thanks for joining us as always.
No doubt. Always look forward to this, guys. And catch up next week.
Sounds right, good. Thanks, the game week. Get your game face on.
Hey, I'm taking the money line, North Dakota State. Deion's calling out Feinbaum the day before the game. Give me North Dakota State.
What a disaster that would be if Colorado loses after everything that's happened.
Jonathan. 9.5-point spread. 9.5 points. Mm. Just saying. It was 8.5 last week.
You heard it here first, guys.
Hutton is taken.
Give me the FCS.
Thanks, Hutton.
There's always one. Yeah. Every Labor Day weekend, there's always one.
You don't want to be that.
At least. Guys.
All right.
Jonathan Hutton joining us as he does every Wednesday at noon. We'll react to what he had to say, but I do want to get into this conversation about expectations around the Titans because, Derek, the three of us were talking amongst ourselves yesterday, and Derek brought up a really interesting point that I want to dig into even further, and we'll do that next. Tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball, 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Tune into 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will start off the season at home against the Virginia Tech Hokies with pregame beginning at 9:30 a.m. and kickoff at 11. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. And we'll talk about that and more college football with Mitch Light at 1 o'clock. Adam Vinken, Willie Dunick, Derek Mason here with you. We were just talking to Jonathan Hutton. And Willie, the question you asked Hutton at the end of our conversation is a question you and I talked about this morning and something that Derek brought up last night, that the moves that the Titans have made this offseason, the players they have brought in, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, Ernest Jones, Lloyd Cushenberry, drafting Tavondre Sweat, but let's stick to the veterans specifically. These are not the moves that are made by a team, as Jonathan said, that does not expect to be competitive this season or expects to be competitive this season. So what I find interesting is they make these moves, but yet there are so many people who are low on the Titans. I heard this morning, Big Joe Dubin, hopefully I have this right, Big Joe, if you're listening, he said he does not see the Titans winning more than 5 football games this season. I think the over-under in Vegas, last I checked, was 6.5.
That has been all summer long. I think that number is held at 6.5. It's not changed.
So 6.5 wins is the over-under, which is low, obviously. But it feels like it's an interesting, I don't know if maybe a disconnect is the right word here, but most people expect the Titans to be bad. I was reading another mock draft this morning before we went on the air that has the Titans picking 7th in the NFL draft, which means they're expected to be bad. But to your point, Willie, about the Predators, there's almost like a Predators-like quality to what the Titans did this offseason. People expected them to take that step back. Rand Carthon, like Barry Trotz, doesn't seem to be thinking that. They want to be competitive. We saw it work out for the Predators. But the question is, I mean, are we a little too low on the Titans? Now, I'm not talking about they're going to go 13-4 here. But, like, to think that they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, I mean, the moves that they have made are not moves that teams that are expect to be bad typically make.
I think there's no question D-Mace, as we have said all along, that they are trying to give Will Levis every chance to grow in the position. And that is one reason to make these moves, to be competitive. But how well could it be? Let's again contrast the feeling that we're getting. Don't you think we would all say that training camp had a pretty good feeling? You're not sitting there watching this team with a brand new coach, a young quarterback, and all this new stuff, saying, man, they don't look good. Like, you haven't had that vibe. It's not like you're saying, hey, these guys are going to be awesome. But they look like they're building something. But it is not infiltrating the national picture, right? Here's an example. And, Nick, do you have it here? This is from the Ringer podcast. They were doing predictions division by division for the AFC. And then, of course, they have a different one with the NFC. But just watch how quickly the hosts gloss over the Titans without even basically getting into any discussion where they are even in the plans or could possibly contend. Listen to this.
Texans are the favorites at plus 105, Jaguars at plus 270, Colts at plus 310. So those three are pretty tightly packed. And then the Titans at plus 950. Over-unders here, Texans are at 9.5, Jaguars and Colts both at 8.5. And the Titans are at 6.5. Ruiz, what do you got? Who's winning the AFC South?
Okay, well, and if we took it a little further, he spends about 1.9 seconds talking about the Titans after that. So he did not go against the odds. He was clearly, and the other hosts chimed in, they have the Titans fourth in the division. I want everybody, because I want to know this, find me a prediction from outside of the zip code, you know, that would be, or the area code 615, right, that has the Titans getting to the playoffs. I want to find, if you have one, please text this to us, 615-737-1025. I haven't seen one yet. Have you guys?
No, I have not.
No.
Like, it's news if they predict them to finish even third or second, but I don't want to be, I'm looking at the glass half full. I think they could be better than that. Competitive is a broad term, like 8 and 9. Okay. So what do we make of that? Like, that's what I wonder. It's a contrast in my mind. I'm fighting that because I've been keeping the bar low in my own expectations, but I've been encouraged from what I've seen.
It is a good question because this time last year, nobody expected anything of the Houston Texans. They had a rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud. They just came off with a 3-13-1 season. Nobody expected the season that the Texans had. And they went from worst to first in the AFC South. And the Texans have loaded up this offseason. There's a lot of hype around the Houston Texans. They're one of those trendy, sexy Super Bowl picks. But who's to say they don't drop off? At this time last year, everybody was singing the praises of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we saw how that turned out. Now, as I said, I'm not expecting the Titans to be a double-digit win team here. But I see a team that in an AFC South that is still, it is improved. The AFC South is improved. No doubt about it. We talked about this last week. But it seems like it's still a little bit in flux. Are we sure that the Texans, despite all that they've done this offseason, are just going to run roughshod over the rest of the AFC South? This division feels like 9 wins, 8 wins, it's good enough to at least challenge for the top of the division. This is not a division where you need to win double-digit games in order to win the division.
It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a competitive division, I believe. Obviously, the Houston Texans, because of their quarterback and their head coach, they are at the top of the heap right now. Obviously, they won AFC South last year with extraordinary play from C.J. Stroud in his rookie year. But I expect the team to take a small step back. They will be missing Danico Autry for the first 6 games, I still believe. You still got to work in Diggs. into the offense? How's it going to look? How can you keep these guys happy? You know, because you got Nico, who's your number one. Diggs would be your number two. And then, obviously,
you have Tank Dell.
Tank Dell would be your three. Now, he got hurt last season, and he's back this year. So, can he pick up where he left off last season? But I think because the AFC South has overnight become a little bit more competitive, I think they take a step back. I'm not saying they're not going to win AFC South, but I do think they take a step back. But if you look at each team, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and the Titans, I think the Titans have done the most this offseason. Why? Because they had to address the most during the offseason. And it's not like they just went out and got individuals to fill, you know, spots so just so they can have, you know, players. No, they went out and got guys they earmarked, guys that still have tread on the tires, the guys that still can play high-level football, whether it's Tony Pollard, Calvin Ridley, Cushenberry, even Tyler Boyd. His role may be a little bit different from what it was in Cincinnati. He may catch a lot more balls in this system, at least the first year, because he's basically one guy that has been in this system and has thrived in it. Then you look on the defensive side of the ball. Sebastian Joseph Day, he's a good player, great player. No, you look at the two corners. They went out and got bona fide corners. Now, the problem with them, they need to stay healthy. They need to remain on the field. And then you go get Adams, who, if he's healthy, he's a good player. Is he the player he once was? Probably not. He's not that player, but he's still a good player. Quadre Diggs, over the last 3 years, he has the fifth or sixth most interceptions in the National Football League. So you went and got you a ball hawk, something that you needed now that Kevin Byard is no longer on your team. Kevin Byard was your ball hawk. Now you expect Quadre Diggs to be that guy that Kevin Byard was for you for so many years at a great level. So to me, this Titan team has been intentional in what they're doing this offseason, which makes me believe, as I believed about the Nashville Predators, this team sees a window, sees an aisle and a lane for themselves that they can go through, and they believe that they can not only compete for the AFC South, they believe with the guys that they brought in, 11 on 11, we can win the AFC South. And I believe them. I truly do believe them. Now,
I have
when
the
we go past
feeling.
11-11, I don't have – it goes from 100% believing to about 20%.
They need some luck. They need some luck with injuries. But I do think the moves they made make them look much more formidable than they did last year if Levis – can take a step and be a good quarterback. Now, let's just finish the thought. I just want everybody to hear the perspective from the outside that we didn't play. Here, listen how quickly they gloss over the Titans here in this quick discussion.
The Colts, like, I have to see it. The Titans, I don't know what the plan is there. They're just throwing a team together like I would in Madden and hoping for the best. The Texans are the only ones with, like, a coherent plan, a quarterback.
Okay, so there you go.
That's an asinine comment.
Nobody pays attention. Nobody's been paying attention to this team. He is not alone. With the Ringer
that
podcast.
Means you ain't doing a lick of homework if that's indeed the case.
But don't you think that's what a lot of the people, they have not really paid attention to what looks like it's coming together. T'Vondre Sweat, this trade for Jones, Sweat and Simmons together, brand new cornerbacks. It looks way, way better on paper than it did last year. Now, that they're coming from a low point. Mm-hmm. But you see what I'm saying here.
But listen,
I'm waiting to hear, hey, are they paying any attention? Like, you talk about rookies on defense that could win the defensive rookie of the year. I have not heard one person mention T'Vondre Sweat, but I'm very curious to see what he looks like. I mean, but that's not making an impact anywhere nationally.
If these moves were made, let's say the Indianapolis coach made all of these moves or half of these moves that the Tennessee Titans have made, everyone would be saying that the Indianapolis coach will push the Houston Texans to win the AFC South. I don't see any damn difference. Their quarterback is no more proven than our quarterback.
He's less proven because exactly. He's played fewer games.
He's less proven. Your running back in the Titans running back are essentially, I mean, who you may take their running back just because.
I might take Jonathan Taylor.
Exactly, but Pollard is no slouch either.
No, he's not.
The receiving core. I'm taking the Titans receiving core over the Indianapolis Colts receiving core.
I would as well.
There's this thing that goes on within the NFL, and it has happened since 1997, and it's continuing to happen no matter what. Yes, because you have a Derrick Henry, it brings a little bit more attention to your team. But the minute they don't have a Derrick Henry type player, then everybody shifts away from the Tennessee Titans. It's been going on since 1997, and each year they either say, well, we don't know quite what this team is, or this team is, you know, they're not a good team and it's going to take them a while. This team has strategically put themselves back in the mix when it comes to winning the AFC South. And anybody with the football mind can see that. Now, whether this works out or not, that's a different issue. That's with every team in the National Football League. Just because you go out and get these free agents doesn't mean it's going to automatically work. Remember the Washington Redskins back then, now Commanders, what they tried to do, and
the
it
Eagles,
did not work,
the Eagles
period.
Were the dream team.
The Eagles. It did not work, period. So I get that part. But again, you can't look at the Titans based upon where they were the last two seasons and say this is not a vastly, just by the name alone, names alone, this is not a vastly improved team. And by them going to get Ernest Jones, I think it even ups the ante even more. This team will they will do more than compete. If they stay healthy, this team will push the Houston Texans and they will push the Indianapolis Colts and Jacksonville to win the AFC South.
615-737-1025. Mike, we see your call. We'll get to it as soon as we get back from break. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. How have your expectations for the Titans changed over the course of the offseason? We encourage your participation. Adam Vinken, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, 1025-1063, the game. William D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Adam Vinken, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Mike has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So, yeah, thanks for taking my call. Willie, first, there was a Yahoo Sports article on August 13th. Again, it's just one of those things that, like, I get those random pop-ups or whatever. One person, Dakota Zentek, predicted the Titans to sneak in as the last wild card team, but you're right. That's the only
okay. So we have one. That's more than I thought.
That's the only person that I've seen that done that. And again, I think that the problem with no matter what moves we make is that there's not a single person that really like thinks Will Levis is going to be that guy. I mean, I can't think of how many different people are already talking about like connecting the dots with the Titans to the next line of quarterbacks, whether it be Shedeur Sanders or whoever's out there already, without giving this guy a chance. I mean, Madden gave Will Levis the lowest starting quarterback rating out of any of the quarterbacks, and I feel like that's not exactly fair when we haven't seen, but like, you know, there's some bright spots that, you know, and reasons to think that Levis could make this work. So again, like, I Tennessee sports get this unfortunate beat, I feel like, with the national publicity that they don't really ever give us a chance. And again, it's fine. We like to play that role as like the Predators to be that sneaky team. But man, like at some point in time, I'd love to be respected.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is a decades long thing, I think. But
yeah,
I would say when you guys got good, D-Mace, it did change some. Mm-hmm. And these last few years when Mike Vrabel, I think, started to build a national cachet as a coach, and the Titans had strung together, what, four or five consecutive winning seasons, and they won a couple divisions. They were forced to talk about them some. Mm-hmm. But they have gone back down to, I think, ground zero of one of the most anonymous teams in the league in terms of percentage of the time that the national shows talk about them. I would kind of use that kind of behind the scenes if I'm the Titans in a us against the world, nobody thinks we're going to be any good, nobody's talking about us. That can work, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think they have a chance to sneak up on some people, and he made a great point. So much hinges on whether Levis takes the leap.
And I think some of it is that reason, you know. There's a reason. But again, it's like there's not much we've seen of Richardson either. Even though the talent is immense, just like it is with Will Levis, the ceiling is high on both guys. But I just don't understand why people would look at Indianapolis and say they're more of a sure hit than the Tennessee Titans, based upon, because all of it is based upon the quarterback. You can have the number one defense in the league. If you don't have a quarterback, people are still going to project you as being a team that's outside of the playoffs. Look at the Jets last season. They had the best defense in the league, I believe, overall, or one of the best, and they didn't make the playoffs. Why? Because they had no quarterback play. So everything hinges on what your quarterback looks like headed into that particular season. And I think what the Tennessee Titans have done was to help the quarterback out. Everything that they've done, both offensively and defensively, was to fill spots that they needed filled with good players, not just throwing, you know, players in there just to fill a spot with good players. And then also they wanted to lessen the sort of responsibility of the quarterback, meaning he doesn't feel he has to go out and win every game. If I could build my defense to a point where it's one of the tops in the league and I can build back up my running game, then I don't have to put so much pressure on a young quarterback. Houston was successful because they were able to play really good defense and they were able to run the football, which opened up their passing game. Even though it looked as if they were putting a lot on the quarterback, they really were not. It's just everything worked out perfectly as he learned time on task, as he learned throughout the season. That's what the Tennessee Titans want to do with Will Levis. You're our quarterback. We want you to improve, but we're going to help you out here. We're going to make you feel as if you don't have to do everything, because when you feel you have to do everything as a young quarterback, what did I say last year? You start developing bad habits. You start developing habits that you got to win. It's like, I got to save the world, and if I don't save the world, we're going to lose. Well, it's not that case this year, because we built up our defense. It's seemingly.
I'm really curious about
the defense. Added more on offense.
The defense really, I'm curious what that could do. John in Nashville, Texas. Titans are not even being picked as a sleeper team. I think that's 100% spot on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that says a lot of they're just not on the radar at all.
It has to be the quarterback and the depth of this team, because obviously I know the offensive line, I get it. There's still going to be that question mark, and it's a question mark for me, at least on the right side, because I still believe there wasn't competition on the right side, and when you don't have competition, you're not able to reach the maximum potential that you should be at. So I think they may still have problems over there on the right side of the line. But other than that, they've addressed just about every position, and we believe they addressed it in the right way.
I hear what Hutton was saying earlier about the depth of the team, and if L'Jarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie go down, the Titans are screwed at that position, for example. But how many teams does that same thing apply to around the NFL? I can't speak to every single team's depth chart, but how many teams, well, if their top two corners go down, they're poor.
A lot of them.
I think that's an excellent point to come back with. The only thing I would say is I think you're right. There aren't that many that have a lot of depth, but they might have the quarterback mm-hmm. that is going to erase some of the – they can cover for the lack of depth. I'm not sure that the Titans quarterback is at the stage of his career where he can cover for the lack of depth, but that's what we're going to find out. We know this. They have – because the quarterback is young and doesn't get paid very much, mm-hmm. they had a lot of money to buy a lot more depth, right? But yeah. the other issue that they're starting – from was the lack of really good foundational players who are 25 and younger. Well, that was one of our main themes to start training camp. Of the list of players in the league that are the best at age 25 and younger, the Titans don't have one. And they don't even have anyone really close to the list. Right? Roger McCreary, we concluded, was their best player mm-hmm. under 20, from 24 or under.
Yeah.
You know, it's still not knowing what Skoronski's going to be, what Latham's going to be, guys who haven't played yet, Spears. It's not Justin Jefferson and Trevor Lawrence and some of these guys who are – Micah Parsons is still
Chase.
In that thing. Jamar Chase. Right. They don't have a guy like that.
We do have one piece of news from our friend Teron Davenport. The Titans are waiving Rashad Weaver.
Okay.
According to Teron Davenport, the Titans are waiving Rashad Weaver.
So – In a nutshell, at the edge rushing position, they picked up Ali Gay off the waiver wire, who's never played in an NFL game. They like what they see. Played at LSU. They still have Caleb Murphy. So they like Murphy more than they like Weaver. So they are basically done with another draft pick from one of those three desert Sahara lack of an oasis draft. 2021-22. It's a big
and they got to overcome.
It's a big desert.
They got to overcome. I mean, it's got
to add Weaver to the list.
At the end of overcoming, you know, those failed draft picks, but you never know. So
we have an unnamed texter who says, it seems ridiculous to me people aren't picking the Titans to win 8 or 9 games. We won 6 last year with the worst offensive line in the league.
If you are a over-under kind of person who likes to bet and these kind of things, the over 6.5 from where we sit here looks very doable, right? And that is something you hear podcasters talk about a lot, depending on which ones you listen to. But if they slant that way on picks, which I don't. I want the info. I want the insight. I'm not that. That's not something that I think about. But I do think that would be something to think about.
Of course.
You feel pretty optimistic about over 6.5?
Yeah, I feel optimistic.
Just better than they were last year? Even if it's just by a game.
This team wasn't good last year. They managed. They were playing a quarterback carousel last year because the offensive line was bad, and it hurt the two quarterbacks, the two starting quarterbacks. For the Titans, and then they had to go in with Malik Willis and then come back with Will Levis and then Ryan Tannehill, then Willie, and then Adam, then me. They just went through their quarterbacks, period, like water through a strainer. But if you look at this team, and this is what I heard last year, for instance, with the Indianapolis Colts, and I even heard it on this station. With teams, one was the Indianapolis Colts, and I think there were a few other teams. Oh, look at their schedule this year. It's an easy schedule, so they're going to win games. It's an easy schedule. I kept telling people, hey, listen, there's no easy schedules in the National Football League. Y'all must have never played a lick of football in the NFL to say, oh, that's an easy schedule. Okay, since you want to go with that premise, the Titans have one of the easier schedules in the National Football League this year. So shouldn't that mean something to people that said last year for those teams that they felt was going to make a jump? Oh, their schedule easy. They have a last place schedule. Look, they're going to win this game. They're going to do that. Does that mean they're really a good team? Probably not, but because the schedule is easy, they're going to win a few extra games. Well, if you approach that team or those teams like that last year, why aren't y'all approaching the Tennessee Titans the same way? Because they have an easy schedule this year as well. If y'all prescribe to, an easy schedule in the NFL means equates to win. Newsflash, there's no damn easy schedule in the NFL. None whatsoever. The Carolina Panthers came in here and almost beat the Titans, and the Carolina Panthers was considered the worst team. They were a drop ball away from moving the ball down the field and ultimately winning that on a field goal. And they were considered the worst team in the National Football League last year. So tell me how that makes sense.
615-737-1025, our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, Mitch Light from The Athletic will join us. We'll break down the start of the college football season, week 1 of the college football season. We'll get into all of that with Mitch coming up next. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.